A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's a really specific pain point from his consulting days. He was working for Sir Ronald Cohen, the philanthropist. Big picture thinker, wanted granular detail, but only had time for meetings once a week. So Daniel's sending 15 emails a day, getting things out of his head, doing the proactive communication thing he's genuinely good at. But the recipient doesn't want a fire hose. He wants a briefing.
And that tension is everywhere. You've got async-first workers who thrive on streaming their thoughts, and stakeholders who need the executive summary. Those two modes just don't fit together natively. Daniel's question is, what if an AI sat in the middle? Intercept your outbox, hold the messages, and deliver one crisp digest on a schedule.
With an escape hatch. If something's actually time-sensitive, it punches through immediately. Keyword override, or the AI itself spots the urgency and releases it.
Here's why this is suddenly a weekend project instead of a research paper. Context windows on GPT-4o and Claude 3.5 Sonnet are now 128,000 tokens plus. You can feed in dozens of emails in a single pass. Open source summarization pipelines are mature. The embedding models for clustering and contradiction detection are cheap and fast. All the pieces exist.
The question Daniel's really asking is, how do you wire them together? What's the architecture? Where are the sharp edges? And what breaks when you actually deploy this thing?
Let's map it out. Because the core insight here is novel, this isn't an inbox tool, it's outbox middleware, and nobody's really built that yet.
I think the reason nobody's built it is that it sits in this weird, uncanny valley between just use email rules and build a whole new communication platform. It's not glamorous enough for a startup to chase, but it's too technically interesting to ignore. Daniel found the gap.
And he framed it in a way that makes the gap visible. Most people complain about email overload and try to fix it on the receiving end. Filters, labels, priority inbox. Daniel's insight is that the sender can fix it for the receiver. That's the inversion.
Which is also a power move, if you think about it. You're saying, I generate so much valuable signal that I need to package it for your limited bandwidth. That's a flex disguised as a courtesy.
It absolutely is. And in consulting, that dynamic is real. The junior person has deep context and generates a fire hose. The senior person has broad context but shallow time. The junior person who can translate between those two modes is the one who gets promoted.
This tool is basically a promotion engine. I love it. Let's define what we're actually building here, because Daniel's description is precise but dense. The system is an AI middleware layer that sits between your outbox and the recipient's inbox. You send emails normally, same habits, same flow, but instead of landing immediately, they enter a buffer. That buffer holds them for a configurable window. When the window closes, the system takes everything you wrote, groups it, summarizes it, resolves contradictions, and delivers one structured executive summary with BLUF subject lines.
The BLUF piece is worth underlining. Bottom line up front, military communication doctrine. Each section of the digest tells you immediately whether it's action required, decision made, or general update. You don't scan, you don't infer. You read the subject line, and you know what's being asked of you.
I've seen this in practice, and it's almost jarring how efficient it is. The first time someone sends you a BLUF formatted message, you're like, wait, you're just telling me what you want? No hope this email finds you well?
It feels aggressive until you realize it's actually the most respectful way to communicate. You're saying, I value your time enough to front load the ask.
And Daniel's instinct about the urgency override is the right one. You need a two-tier escape mechanism. Tier one is explicit. Put urgent in the subject line and the system releases it instantly. No buffering. Tier 2 is AI driven. A small classifier model reads the body text, spots phrases like deadline tomorrow or need sign off by end of day, and auto releases even if the sender forgot to flag it.
Tier 2 is the one that saves you from yourself. I can't count the number of times I've sent an email at midnight that absolutely needed a response by morning, and I just didn't think to mark it urgent. I was tired. The AI doesn't get tired.
The sender doesn't have to change their behavior at all. That's the key design principle. You stay in Hosepi mode. Stream everything. Get it out of your head. The system handles the translation to digest mode on the other end.
That's what makes this more than email management. This is a new communication protocol. Two humans are still talking to each other, but there's an AI mediator optimizing the delivery cadence and density for the recipient's cognitive bandwidth. The sender never throttles themselves. The receiver never drowns.
Which is the exact problem Daniel had with Sir Ronald, a big picture thinker who wanted granular detail, but only once a week. That's not a contradiction in the man, it's a contradiction in the medium. Email is synchronous in expectation, but asynchronous in practice, and it breaks when the two parties have mismatched rhythms.
And Daniel's framing this as an open source tool, not a startup pitch. He wants it to exist for anyone in that consultant-client dynamic or agency stakeholder, or really any async-heavy workflow where one person generates a lot of signal and the other person only has bandwidth for the highlights.
Which makes me think of a concrete case. Imagine a legislative aide and a senator. The aide is in the weeds on three different bills, attending hearings, taking meetings, generating dozens of memos and updates per day. The senator is on the floor, in caucus, at fundraisers. They have maybe 15 minutes a day for substantive reading. That aide needs this tool yesterday.
That's the perfect use case. And the senator doesn't want to install new software or learn a new platform. They just want one email in their inbox every evening with bluff sections, votes to prepare for, constituent issues needing attention, policy updates.
The aide gets to stay in flow, dumping context as it arrives, without the cognitive overhead of constantly thinking, is this worth the senator's time right now? Let the AI make that call, or at least batch it for later review.
The architecture question is, how do you build the translator? What's the pipeline that converts Hosepipe to digest without dropping anything critical?
All right, the plumbing. The simplest version doesn't need an SMTP proxy or anything exotic. You set up a catch-all forwarding rule. Say, ronald-updates@yourdomain.com. Every email you'd normally send to Sir Ronald, you send there instead. That address feeds into a processing pipeline. Python, fast API, dead simple.
You're not building an email client. You're just intercepting at the routing layer.
The pipeline has five stages. Intercept, classify urgency, buffer, summarize, deliver. Stage 1, email arrives, gets parsed. Timestamp, sender, subject, body. Stored in SQLite or Redis, whichever you prefer. Attach a priority flag. Default to false.
Stage 2 is the urgency gate. Does it get held or released immediately?
First, keyword scan. Subject or body contains uurgent or time-sensitive. It bypasses the buffer entirely and forwards straight to the real recipient. Second, an AI classifier. You can use a fine-tuned Distilbert model, or honestly, just call GPT-40 Mini with a prompt that says, does this email contain time-sensitive language? It looks for phrases like, deadline tomorrow, need sign-off by EOD, decision in the next 4 hours. If yes, auto-release.
That second tier catches the thing Daniel worried about, the sender forgetting to flag it. You dash off an email at 11 p.m., don't think to mark it urgent, but the AI reads board meeting at 8 a.m. and punches it through.
Here's a fun edge case. What if the AI gets it wrong? It flags something as urgent that isn't, and the recipient gets a firehose email at midnight for no reason. Does that erode trust?
It does, but the failure mode is asymmetric. A false positive, releasing something non-urgent, is mildly annoying. A false negative, holding something that was actually urgent, is catastrophic. So you tune the classifier for high recall at the expense of precision. Better to release 10 non-urgent emails than to hold one urgent one.
That's the right trade-off. And the classifier model is tiny. Distilbert runs on a CPU in milliseconds. You're not adding latency. If the email clears the urgency check, it goes into the buffer.
The buffer is just a queue with a timer.
24 hours, 48 hours, weekly. Whatever matches the stakeholder's rhythm. Emails sit there with their metadata. When the window closes, everything gets flushed to stage 4, the summarization engine.
This is where the 128,000 token context window matters.
You feed the entire batch into GPT-40 or Claude 3.5 Sonnet with a structured prompt. The prompt has 4 jobs. 1. Group emails by topic. 2. Extract action items, decisions needed, and general info. 3. Write a Be Love subject line for each section. 4. Detect and resolve contradictions.
Walk me through the contradiction piece, because that's the cleverest part of Daniel's spec. You send, I need your decision on the venue, and then 10 minutes later, never mind, booked it. A naive summary includes both. The recipient is confused.
2-pass approach. First pass. You run all the buffered emails through an embedding model, like text embedding. 3 small from OpenAI. That converts each email into a vector. You cluster them by semantic similarity. Emails about the venue all land in one cluster. Emails about the budget in another. Second pass. Within each cluster, the LLM checks for logical contradictions. If email A says option 1 is best, and email B says, actually, option 2 is better, the summary collapses that into evaluated both options, settled on option 2. The earlier contradiction disappears.
The recipient never sees the internal back and forth. They just get the resolved state.
If the LLM isn't confident about a resolution, say 2 emails conflict and it's unclear which is the final word, it flags the item with a competence score and a note. Review needed. Conflicting signals detected. The digest doesn't pretend to be omniscient.
That's the trust mechanism. The system knows what it doesn't know.
That's the difference between a tool people actually use and a tool people abandon after one bad summary. If the digest is wrong once and doesn't tell you it might be wrong, you never trust it again.
Stage 5 is delivery. A single email lands in the real recipient's inbox. Sections. Action required. Decisions made. General updates. Each section opens with a BLUF line. Underneath, the relevant details from the source emails. At the bottom, a confidence score for the overall digest, and any flagged items for human review.
Let's make this concrete. 12 emails over 3 days about a client deliverable. 3 about the deadline, 2 about budget, 4 about design revisions, 3 random updates. The embedding model clusters them. The LLM spots that email 7 says, deadline is Friday, but email 11 says, client pushed to Monday. The digest doesn't present both. It presents the final timeline, notes the change, and the recipient knows exactly where things stand without reading 12 separate threads.
They get a confirmation. Your email has been buffered for the weekly digest. Preview, categorized under general updates. If they disagree with the categorization, they can reclassify before the window closes. That feedback loop is critical for trust on the sender side.
The sender stays in control without ever having to throttle themselves. Which was the whole point?
The technical plumbing is straightforward. But once you deploy this, interesting knock-on effects start to emerge. The first one is how it changes sender behavior. You know the AI is going to summarize your emails. Does that make you more structured or more sloppy?
100%. The second people know there's a cleanup crew, they start throwing things at the wall. The AI will figure out what I meant. You get stream of consciousness rambles, half-formed thoughts, contradictory updates within the same hour.
That's dangerous. The summarization quality degrades if the input is noise. So you've got a human-computer interaction design question. Should the system push back? Something like, your last 5 emails were all about the same topic.
A gentle nudge. Not blocking, just feedback. The sender might not even realize they're fragmenting their communication. But the bigger question Daniel's spec raises is privacy. This pipeline reads every outgoing email. For consultants and agencies, that's client data flowing through a third-party LLM.
That's a deal-breaker for a lot of professional contexts. Sir Ronald Cohen's portfolio includes impact investments, government-adjacent work, sensitive financials. You can't just pipe that into OpenAI's API and hope for the best.
The mitigation is local.
And this is where Daniel's open source vision aligns perfectly with the architecture. You run Llama 370B or Mistral Large locally via a Llama or VLLMA. A single A100 handles it, or even a Mac Studio with enough RAM for the smaller quantized versions. All data stays on-premises. No third party ever sees the emails.
Which also means you're not dependent on an API that could change pricing or deprecate a model. You control the whole stack.
There's another trust problem, though, and it's subtler. The receiver's cognitive load drops, but the sender's anxiety might spike. Did my email actually get through? Was it summarized correctly? Did the AI flatten the nuance I needed preserved?
The inbox era paradox. You clear your own mental queue by sending, but now you're haunted by whether the system represented you accurately.
But I think you also need a view, my pending digest, dashboard. The sender can open it any time, see everything buffered for the next delivery, and manually edit or pull something back.
Transparency as the antidote to anxiety. If I can see exactly what Sir Ronald is going to receive on Monday morning, I stop worrying about what the black box is doing.
Now, Daniel framed this for a solo consultant, but the pattern generalizes fast. Imagine a team of 5 consultants all feeding updates into a shared client digest. Now you need deduplication across senders. 2 people reporting the same project milestone. You need attribution, who said what, so the client knows who to follow up with. You need merge logic that doesn't just collapse everything into a soupy the team discussed.
Which senders are authorized to feed this particular digest? What if one consultant leaves the project? How do you revoke their pipeline access without breaking the buffer for everyone else?
That's the enterprise extension, and it's non-trivial. But the core architecture supports it. The buffer just gets an extra metadata field for sender ID. The summarization prompt gets an instruction to preserve attribution. The deduplication runs the same embedding clustering, but now cross-references sender fields.
What's interesting is how novel this pattern is. There are tools that come close. Brief does AI email assistance, Superhuman has split inbox, there's an open-source email summarizer on GitHub, but they're all red-side. They summarize what you receive. Nobody's built the outbox middleware that intercepts before delivery and holds for batch processing.
That distinction matters. Read-side tools are about managing your own attention. This is about managing someone else's attention on your behalf. It's a completely different trust model.
Which brings up an edge case Daniel didn't mention. What happens when the stakeholder replies to a specific point in the digest? Regarding the venue decision, can we revisit that? The system needs to trace that reply back to the original email thread and route it to the correct sender.
That requires maintaining a mapping table. Every section in the digest gets tagged with the original email IDs it was compiled from. When a reply comes in, the system parses which section it references, looks up the IDs, and forwards it to whoever sent those original emails. If it's ambiguous, it goes to all relevant senders with a note.
The digest isn't a dead end. It's a two-way protocol. Even if most of the traffic flows one direction, the stakeholder can always drill back down to the source.
This is where I think the open source community could really run with the idea. The mapping table is simple in concept but has interesting edge cases. What if the original email was deleted? What if the sender has left the organization? What if the reply references multiple sections of the digest simultaneously?
You'd need a fallback chain. If the original sender is unavailable, route to their manager or the project lead. If multiple sections are referenced, split the reply and route each piece separately, or send the whole thing to everyone with context notes. It's solvable, but it's the kind of thing that separates a weekend prototype from something you'd actually deploy in production.
Given all that, what should someone actually do if they want to try this? Because the architecture is clear, but the gap between understanding it and having it running is where most people stall.
Start embarrassingly small. The minimum viable pipeline is a Python script, maybe 50 lines, that pulls an IMAP inbox, grabs the buffered emails, feeds them to an LLM with a summarization prompt, and sends one digest. No urgency override, no contradiction resolution, no dashboard. Just the core loop.
That's a weekend project. Friday night you set up the forwarding rule to a dedicated address. Saturday you write the script. Sunday, you run it against a week of your own sent mail and read the output. The feedback tells you immediately whether the concept holds water.
The temptation is to build the full architecture from day one. The urgency classifier and the embedding-based contradiction detection are V2 features. You add them once you've validated that the basic summarization quality is good enough to trust.
The second concrete recommendation, Use a local model for the summarization from the start. Llama 370B running via a Llama on a Mac Studio with enough RAM handles this workload fine. Even the smaller quantized versions produce solid digests, and it solves the client data problem before it becomes a problem.
Daniel's open source instinct is exactly right here. A self-hosted architecture means no third-party API sees the emails, no pricing changes break your pipeline, and no terms of service update suddenly makes your workflow non-compliant.
If you're a consultant or agency owner listening to this, the bar to entry is low. Set up the forwarding rule, write the script, run it for 1 week with one client. The experience of reading your own digests, seeing how the AI groups your thoughts, what it flattens, what it preserves, that's the real test.
I'll add one more recommendation. Run the first week in parallel, send your emails normally, and feed them into the digest pipeline. Compare what the stakeholder actually received versus what the digest would have sent. That side-by-side tells you everything about whether the tool is ready.
That's smart. It's like a silent deployment. The stakeholder doesn't even know you're testing anything, and you get a perfect AAB test of your communication quality.
Daniel explicitly said he'd be delighted for someone else to run with this. So here's the invitation. If you build it, put it on GitHub. We'll link to any open source implementations that emerge. This pattern deserves to exist in the world.
We've got a blueprint. A weekend project that could change how consultants and stakeholders communicate. But it leaves me with a bigger question. Is this the kind of thing that becomes the default, or does it stay niche?
I think it depends on whether the async-first culture keeps spreading. Right now, the people who'd adopt this are the Daniel types, high-output communicators paired with low-bandwidth stakeholders. That's a real market, but it's not everyone.
The counterforce is that most workplaces still default to synchronous expectation. You send an email, you expect a reply within hours. The digest model only works when both parties agree that once a week is the contract.
That agreement is cultural, not technical. The tool can't force it. But here's what I keep coming back to. AI agents are about to make this pattern far more general. When your AI agent is doing work on your behalf, sending emails, making decisions, you're going to want a briefing from it. Not a fire hose of every action it took.
The digest pattern flips. Instead of the human sender summarizing for the human receiver, the AI agent summarizes its own actions for the human overseer.
Daniel's Outbox middleware is a precursor to agent-to-human briefing. The same architecture. Buffer, classify urgency, summarize, deliver with BLUF sections, applies when the sender is an autonomous agent that made 47 decisions while you were asleep.
Imagine that agent sending you a morning digest. While you were offline, I reviewed 17 pull requests, merged 4, flagged 2 for your attention, and scheduled 3 meetings based on availability I found in your calendar. Bluff, 2 items need your decision before 10 a.m. That's not science fiction. That's this architecture with a different sender.
Which means the open source tool someone builds this weekend might turn out to be the scaffolding for something much larger. The communication protocol isn't just human to human anymore. It's agent to human, agent to agent, human to team. The digest becomes the interface layer for trust between any two entities with mismatched bandwidth.
That's the thing I hope people take from this. Daniel sent in what looked like a niche consulting hack, but the pattern underneath, buffer, batch, summarize, deliver with confidence scores, is a general solution to the attention mismatch problem. And that problem is only getting bigger.
If you build it with that in mind. The digest format, the urgency override, the contradiction resolution, those aren't just email features. They're the primitives of a new way for entities to report to each other.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
The word shrapnel comes from Lieutenant General Henry Shrapnel, a British artillery officer who in the 1810s invented an anti-personnel shell filled with musket balls and a timed fuse. He spent years perfecting it at his own expense before the British Army finally adopted it, and he lived long enough to see his invention used extensively at Waterloo. The name outlasted the specific weapon. By World War I, any shell fragment was called shrapnel, and the original spherical case shot was obsolete.
So the man literally got his name turned into flying metal.
I'm not sure whether that's immortality or a warning.
This has been my Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flemingtop. If you build Daniel's Outbox middleware, put it on GitHub and let us know. We want to see what you make. You can reach us at show@myweirdprompts.com.
Until next time.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My Weird Prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My Weird Prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.